It's October 13th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bless for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, login with Ethereum, the latest headlines, and more. This episode is sponsored by Kava, Nexo.io, and Market Intel by Chainalysis. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin's price dipped below $57,000 on Tuesday, as analysts said the extreme buying in the market could mean the rally may soon be running out of steam. They pointed to the Fear and Greed Index, which entered extreme greed territory last week and is at the highest level since early September, which preceded a sharp sell-off in Bitcoin. Comments from JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon at a conference on Monday contributed to a sour mood across crypto markets. Dimon stated that governments will regulate Bitcoin, which he personally thinks is, quote, worthless. Some analysts consider the recent rally in crypto prices as being driven by continued speculation the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, will finally approve a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund, or ETF, although others are skeptical that an approval of an ETF would be beneficial for the price of Bitcoin. The Relative Strength Index, also known as the RSI on the hourly and four-hour charts, remains in bearish territory below 50, so a continued decline can't be ruled out. If the price dips too much lower, the charts suggest $50,000 would be the price to beat for the bears. On the other hand, bulls need to get the price back above $56,612, created in Asian hours, to take greater control and attack resistance again at 60K. But even as the news isn't so good in the short term, we're seeing an increase in transaction activity on the Bitcoin blockchain, which could point to fresh buying demand this quarter, according to data compiled by Glassnode. The value and size of transactions are also increasing, which could mean large buyers are starting to accumulate BTC after the sell-off last month. And transfer volume of greater than 3% of the realized market cap typically marks the beginning of a bullish phase as the relative value of network utility increases. That's according to Glassnode. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Dominic Dantes, Tracy Wong, and Amkar Godbole. Bitcoin is currently trading at $55,106 per token. That's down 3.65% in the last 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $3,466. That's up 0.75% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. Shifting to traditional markets, U.S. stock futures ticked up and oil prices stabilized ahead of fresh data on consumer purchases, on consumer prices, and major earnings, both of which are expected to provide some insight into whether recent concerns about inflation are warranted. Futures data of the S&P 500 added 0.1% on Wednesday, pointing to a pause in the broad market index's three-day decline. It's down nearly 1% so far this week. Meanwhile, NASDAQ 100 futures rose 0.4%, suggesting modest gains for technology stocks after the opening bell. Hopping across the pond, European equities ticked higher on Wednesday as positive sentiment around corporate earnings tempered caution about U.S. inflation and potential interest rate rises in the world's largest economy. Europe's regional Stoxx 600 share index opened 0.2% lower before rising 0.5% as critical tech stocks lifted guidance. London's FTSE 100 lost 0.2%, while futures markets indicated that Wall Street's blue-chip S&P 500 index would add 0.3% in early New York dealings. In Asia, major benchmarks were mixed. The Shanghai Composite Index added 0.4%, while Japan's Nikkei 225 slid 0.3%. Markets in Hong Kong were closed due to a typhoon. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal and the FT. And in related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. After the break, we'll take a look at what standardizing login with Ethereum could mean. But first, here's what's hot. Turning to big picture news, inflation revival is a victory, not a defeat for central banks, so they say. Yes, inflation is back, and you should probably be relieved, if not outright happy. At least that's the verdict of the world's top central banks, who hope they've hit a sweet spot where healthy economies see prices gently rise, but not spiral out of control. The current inflation rise is not without risk, of course, they say, but comparisons to 1970s-style stagflation, a period of high inflation and unemployment combined with little or no growth, appears to be unfounded. At least they hope so. Reuters has the full report in the show notes. Meanwhile, consumer prices are still rising fast, and it's a problem for Washington and Wall Street. The White House and the Federal Reserve are watching inflation data nervously, hoping that rapid price gains will fade soon, but increasingly admitting that the cooldown is taking longer to materialize than they had expected earlier this year. The consumer price index likely climbed by 5.3% in September compared with the prior year, according to a Bloomberg survey of economists. From August to September, the index likely rose 0.3%, and while monthly gains have slowed from their breakneck pace earlier this year, they're still abnormally rapid. The price pressures are not fading as rapidly as policymakers had hoped. The New York Times has all the details in the show notes. And speaking of monetary policy, Three U.S. Federal Reserve policymakers on Tuesday said the economy is healed enough for the central bank to begin withdrawing its crisis-era support, cementing expectations that the Fed will start to taper its monthly bond purchases as soon as next month. Reuters also has that one. And on the subject of prices, this should be a great time for energy investors, but few of them are still around to enjoy it. Years of awful returns and pressure from clients to exit the oil and gas business have left fewer and smaller firms able to take advantage of rising prices and help boost production. Those left are moving to increase output, but they're relatively small players who likely won't be able to make a significant impact. Investors are steering capital away from fossil fuels and towards companies that rank high in environmental, social, and governance, or ESG measures. The Wall Street Journal has that one. And zooming in on supply chains, Apple Inc., the world's most valuable company, has finally joined a growing list of household names from Toyota to Samsung, forced to cut back on business because of a global shortage of semiconductors. Apple is now likely to slash its projected iPhone 13 production targets for 2021 by as many as 10 million units. Bloomberg reported this one on Tuesday. And taking a closer look at labor, nearly 4.3 million workers in the U.S. voluntarily quit their jobs in August, the Labor Department said on Tuesday. That was up from 4 million in July and by far the most in the two decades the government has been keeping track. According to the New York Times, that explosion of quitting is the latest evidence that the balance of power in the labor market has swung towards workers. Turning to international news, ETF manager BetaShares said on Wednesday it expects its Crypto Innovators Fund to start trading on the Australian Stock Exchange, or the ASX, in the, quote, coming weeks, subject to regulatory approval. The ETF will offer exposure to crypto-focused companies aiming to track the Bitwise Crypto Industry Innovators Index, the firm said in an emailed statement. Current constituents include crypto exchange Coinbase, mining company Riot Blockchain, and Bitcoin hodling business intelligence firm MicroStrategy. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has all the details. And in what could be the reinvention of a bank that actually pays you interest on your deposits, the Switzerland-based SIBA Bank has launched a product called Earn, which will let institutions generate income from proof-of-stake protocols such as Polkadot, Tezos, and Cardano, with other networks being added over time. The platform will also enable investors to lend Bitcoin and Ether through the bank, the company said Wednesday. The Swiss financial regulator, who has jurisdiction here, says it'll be the first fully regulated bank to offer investors access to yield and decentralized finance, or DeFi, protocols. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has the details. Turning to industry news, the International Monetary Fund, also known as the IMF, is worried about the cryptoization of the developing world. In its Global Financial Stability Report, which it released on Tuesday, the global financial institution said that cryptoization, the use of foreign or digital currency by a country, carries, quote, significant risks and is an inadvisable shortcut, end quote, for developing countries trying to boost their economies. The IMF report said that cryptoization, which is just such a fun word to say I can't stop saying it, such as El Salvador's recent adoption of Bitcoin as legal tender, could hamper central banks' efforts to set monetary policy, cause liquidity risks, and destabilize economies. CoinDesk's Cheyenne Ligon has the full report in the show notes. And yesterday was an interesting day for NFTs, as Coinbase follows FTX.us and also recently Binance into NFT trading. The exchange's marketplace will support Ethereum-based NFTs and comes just a day after the release of an NFT marketplace from rival exchange FTX.us. If FTX's bet on Solana is a signal that other blockchains are poised to take a slice of Ethereum's hold of the NFT business, Coinbase is sending a different message, that Ethereum's NFT dominance has room to grow. Coinbase's product will take a direct swing at juggernaut market OpenSea, which is currently home to the majority of Ethereum-based NFT trading. CoinDesk's Eli Tam has the report. And according to another report out of Big Bank City, Disney, Electronic Arts, Robinhood, and the WWE are set to benefit most from NFTs. The bank outlines winners and losers from NFTs in its latest Disruptive Innovations report. Citi said that video games and music are industries that are most likely to see positive change from the influx of NFTs, which are, of course, blockchain-based tokens that prove ownership of a piece of digital content. Trading in NFTs climbed to $10.7 billion in the third quarter, an increase of more than 700% from the previous quarter, according to a report by blockchain analytics firm DappRadar. Other U.S. companies expected to be helped by NFTs include video game publisher Activision, Formula One Group, Discovery Inc., Viacom CBS, and World Wrestling Entertainment. Check out all the details on that one in the show notes, courtesy of CoinDesk's Josh Feynman. And in a story we'll just call Andreessen Horowitz Goes to Washington, several executives from the VC firm, which has a significant crypto fund in its portfolio, will tell policymakers at Capitol Hill and the White House why they should regulate Web3, CNBC reported on Wednesday. A16Z defines Web3 as, quote, a group of technologies that encompass blockchain, cryptographic protocols, digital assets, decentralized finance, and social platforms, end quote. The firm's executives will encourage policymakers to create a national strategy for these technologies, developing appropriate regulations for the full range of products and services beyond those that would be regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. You can find the full report in the show notes, courtesy of CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley. And in lighter news, here's our associate producer, Adrian Blust.
So we know the blockchain is proving to be an exciting playing field for big name and underground artists alike with the use of NFT marketplaces, but it also seems to be a prime spot for delinquent artists exiled from the traditional art world. Hash Masks, the digital art collective that's put together a collection of thousands of high-end non-fungible tokens, is the producer of the recently announced NFT project by Wolfgang Beltracchi. Beltracchi is the infamous German art forger who recreated and sold the works of famous artists for over 30 years. He was finally caught in 2011 and spent more than 3 years in prison in Germany. Since his arrest, Beltracchi has been banned by museums, galleries, and auction houses from showing and selling his work. That makes him a great candidate, though, for an NFT collection, Hashmask said on Tuesday. Quote, there is no better artist to utilize the blockchain to express their art than Beltracchi, said the founder of Hashmasks, who goes by the name of Hansen, to CoinDesk. Hansen continued, he is the most censored artist. Hence, we can use the Ethereum blockchain as intended to give access to an otherwise barred artist, end quote. CoinDesk's Nelson Wong has the full story and links to the NFTs themselves in the show notes.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for After the Break. We'll take a look at a standardized version of Sign In with Ethereum and what it pretends. Back in a minute.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins, lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. Looking to make the most of your crypto assets? Nexo.io's got you covered. Grow your wealth securely with Nexo's high-yield interest accounts. Buy crypto on your terms, directly within Nexo's platform, and start earning daily compounding interest right away. Get the cash you need without selling your crypto from just 6.9% APR. Instantly swap between 100 crypto and traditional currency pairs. And don't worry, Nexo is insured against losses up to $375 million. Get the most of your crypto at nexo.io. That's nexo.io. Market Intel by Chainalysis provides you with the ultimate crypto dataset to help reach your research and investment goals. As an asset manager seeking confident crypto investments, or a venture capitalist identifying and funding emerging players, you'll leverage 53 metrics across 10 categories, like whales, exchanges, liquidity, and supply, to maximize your insights. Get started now by heading to markets.chainalysis.com. That's markets.chainalysis.com.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from CoinDesk's chief insights columnist, David Z. Morris. Over the past few weeks, Facebook has been raked over the coals in the press and the U.S. Congress for practices that are hard to regard as anything short of evil. In essence, the company allegedly knew for years that its algorithms were pointing users to content that was harmful in a variety of ways, but did nothing because change would mean losing money. If you've ever used your Facebook account to log into another online service, you've been helping the social network make your online experience more toxic, even if you're not a user of Facebook.com itself. Or maybe you do much the same thing using Google or Apple Identity Services. All involve major trade-offs, like possibly having your data shared with U.S. intelligence. It's one of the core quandaries of today's internet. While the net's inherent anonymity is definitely a good thing, it leaves users of ID-reliant tools in thrall to major centralized identity providers and their seemingly inevitable abuses. Blockchain developers have long talked about developing decentralized identity standards to save us from the dangers of big login, and at least one significant step towards that future appears imminent. A standardized version of sign-in with Ethereum is coming. It's just what it sounds like, a standard way to use an Ethereum wallet that you own as an identifier across multiple services. If your first thought is, my name isn't even attached to my ETH wallet, that's exactly the point. Using a cryptographic marker as an identity means the user, not the identity provider, has total control over what information is associated with it. Eventually, you'll be able to decide, for instance, whether a particular service needs your name, proof of your age, or a glimpse at your ETH balance. You won't have to send all that information to every service you use. The standard is being developed by Spruce Systems, co-founded by former ConsenSys staffers, who won a recent development bid from the Ethereum Foundation and Ethereum Name Service. The initial goals are modest, always a good sign in my book. Quote, "We're starting with not as serious, not as strong identity," said the co-founder and CEO of Spruce, continuing the quote, "because we want to be battle-tested. In the short to medium term, it's more like social media credentials that tie Twitter handles to a blockchain. We don't want to provide know-your-customer credentials for buying millions of dollars of financial securities right yet," he said, though that is a possibility down the road. Applications for the initial iteration are more likely to include lower security uses, like gating content for non-fungible token holders. But eventually, by integrating secure off-chain storage, sign-in with Ethereum could also offer strong options such as government ID. Users will be able to control access to that data on a case-by-case basis and remove or disassociate it at will. One significant hurdle for a standardized sign-in with Ethereum is the inherent risk of reusing any identifier, particularly an address, that can likely be pretty easily linked to wallets used for financial activity. Though the idea of using multiple or disposable wallets as a security measure is familiar to crypto users, it's probably a bridge too far for normies, at least for now. One more reason the project is starting with baby steps. At least to start, it's a community project, and we'll be holding weekly community calls as Spruce develops the SIWE standard. Information about those calls and how to participate, should you want to, will be available soon at login.xyz. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup, and just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. We'll see you then.